The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Tuesday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for coming along for the ride. So we're taking questions from listeners just like you. Today's question is this: should any salvation gospel that is faith plus something else be termed a false gospel? That and much more is what we're going to discuss. But before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about our National Bible Conference coming up very soon. You can find out all you need to know about it by going to faithalone.org. Click on events. Well, let's get right to this discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. As always, my name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. Did you know about Espresso?
That is the wrong way to say it.
Why?
Or some type of barbarian.
I know. On Friday, a friend of ours took us out to eat at this nice restaurant, and after the meal, they said, "Would you like some coffee?" And Sean says, "No, I'd like some espresso." And I said, "Oh, you're having espresso?" And he said, "No, it's espresso. There's no X in espresso." But I did look it up, and they said most Americans say espresso.
Yeah, but Americans say all kinds of crazy stuff, like worsh. I'm going to wash my clothes. Where did that extra R come from?
I'm not sure.
And so just add an X here, espresso.
President Kennedy used to say idea. Cuba.
What is that? Oh, Cuba, the country.
Cuba.
But, you know, I'm Canadian, and I was an English Canadian in a French city, so I pronounce things wrong all the
but
time.
But espresso is the way all the French people
I'll,
say
I'll
it.
I'll forgive
right?
you. I don't okay. know. I'm not quite sure. I only started drinking coffee after I moved here. Okay, let's see your questions. This is a question from Brad, and he is originally from the OC, and then he says, "Bob!" exclamation mark. Is this Orange County?
I think it is.
Is that where you're from, or
yeah.
no?
Yeah, well, I'm from Arcadia, but I went to college in Orange County in Irvine, California.
All right, there you go, Orange County. He says, "Love your show. Thanks. I got saved 40 years ago. He was a part of a Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel tradition. And he thought that he could lose his salvation every time he sinned. This faulty belief system brought me to the ruin on the rocks of sin. But he says, in the last couple of years, the Lord showed me grace teaching through Joseph Prince." So Joseph Prince, the famous preacher from Singapore. I know. He's hyper grace, weird views of communion, prosperity theology. That's all true. However, his teaching somewhat converted me back to free grace. My question is, Prince says that the gospel of free grace is the true gospel, as Apostle Paul said, and any other is a false gospel. You guys don't say that, but you do say that the only salvation is in the free gift and trust the giver. So why don't you delineate between the other views and declare them anathema as Paul did? And he has a second question, but let's just address that first question. I'm not quite sure I understand that first question, because I feel like pretty much every day, all day, we say that anything other than the faith alone message is false.
Right.
So
right.
If you haven't heard us say that before, Brad, we call it lordship salvation or work salvation or anything, faith plus anything else. That's a false gospel.
Right. If you look at Galatians 1, 8, and 9, where he talks about people being under the anathema, the curse, if they preach any other gospel than that which I preach to you, he's talking about the Judaizers, who were basically saying that in order to be justified, a person not only had to believe in Jesus, but they also had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And so it was a work salvation message, yeah. And Paul says that that's not really the gospel. That's a false gospel.
He says it's another gospel.
Another gospel,
and
yeah.
Let them be accursed. And
so just so Brad knows, yeah, we're saying anything contrary to the faith alone message. Now, maybe what Brad's getting at is we don't typically say this is Paul's message.
Okay.
We typically say it's Jesus' message.
See, so that's, I was thinking maybe that's what he meant. Maybe he meant that only Paul preached the true gospel, and anything else other than what Paul preached was false.
I don't think Joseph Prince says that.
I don't think Joseph Prince says that.
We certainly don't.
I mean, what Paul preached was true.
And what Paul preached was consistent with what Jesus preached.
But it was consistent. He preached it because Jesus preached it.
Right.
It's like Jesus preached. The only condition to be saved is to believe in him for everlasting life. Believe, believe, believe. Now, Paul made it a bit more explicit by adding the words, apart from the works of the law, because apparently people who were claiming to follow Jesus, the Judaizers, didn't understand, and they started adding works to salvation. And so Paul clarified, no, apart from works.
Right.
So we wouldn't take the position that Paul is the only teacher for the church today.
No, that's an ultra-dispensational view that somehow the saving message changed after Jesus rose from the dead, appeared to many, and then ascended to heaven. And then all of a sudden, it was no longer enough to believe John 3:16 or John 5:24 or John 6:47. But now I had to believe a whole lot of other things. Right. Often what's brought in is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, which I would acknowledge. Everybody I know who professes to be born again once and for all by faith in Christ believes the reason that's true is because they believe Jesus died and rose again. Yeah. But it's almost certain that the Judaizers that came to the region known as Galatia, they certainly were preaching that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and appeared to many.
Yeah.
And yet they were preaching a false gospel.
Right.
So it's possible to preach Jesus' death, resurrection, and burial and ascension and everything in 1 Corinthians 15:3-11, and yet not be born again because you don't believe in the free gift of everlasting life. And the Apostle Paul was real clear that we need to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. That's 1 Timothy 1:16. That's also Ephesians 2:5 and Ephesians 2:8.
Yeah. I've actually visited a local Joseph Prince established church in the DFW area for the same reason. I mean, of all the major preachers, I'd say when it comes to like the faith alone message, he's pretty consistent. But I've noticed in these little churches that it kind of gets garbled. That's been kind of disappointing, but it's also, we see it again and again and again, don't we? Like in churches that, even in churches that are supposed to stand for grace, you're always like one generation or one leadership change removed to having a confused church.
You know, I heard that about seminary with Dr. John Hanna, professor of church history at Dallas Seminary. In around 1980, I had him for church history, and he said, you know, every major seminary that's been in existence for any length of time has eventually fallen off the rails and has become liberal. And he said, now Dallas Seminary, which at that point was a little over 50 years old, is still holding fast to conservative teaching and the Word of God. And I'm thrilled by it. But he said, eventually, even Dallas Theological Seminary is probably going to leave conservative circles.
Right.
And he said, I just hope it doesn't happen in my lifetime. And I think his statement there is a good statement for every church and every ministry. It's certainly something I'm concerned about here at GES, that if at some point I'm not able to do this anymore, well, then my hope is GES will stand strong for the principles you and I teach all the time, not just through the next 40 years when you're still kicking, but 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries, that we would be strong. But we can't control that. It's one generation at a time.
Yeah. Now here, what's Brad's second question? It's about, this is Hebrews, but I can't think of the chapter and verse offhand. Secondly, what's the meaning of, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance?
Oh, that's Hebrews 6, verse 6.
And Brad goes on to say, some say this is about a mature believer. Others say it is about professors, not possessors. And some use it as a proof text that you can be saved, but ultimately lost in the end.
First off, I would suggest look it up at our website, faithalone.org, and we've got probably 10 articles on Hebrews 6, 4 to 8. We also have a commentary by Ken Yates on Hebrews that's excellent. And in our bigger commentary, Paul Tanner has an excellent commentary.
The Grace New Testament commentary.
Yeah.
And then Zane Hodges did the Hebrews commentary in the
Bible Knowledge
commentary.
And that's excellent.
So there's at least three commentaries out there you can draw on. And
right.
two of them from us, and then free articles.
But the answer is real simple. Whoever the author of Hebrews is, probably Barnabas, I think, says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and have tasted the powers of the age to come, Those are five strong descriptions of a born-again person. And then he says, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame.
And by the way, I like what you just said. This is definitely about believers. And when Arminians read this verse, I can give them that. They will say this is about believers.
And I say right.
Right, and we would agree with them on that point.
And we both say believers can fall away.
Whereas Calvinists would say, no, these are just fake. These are fake
right.
believers.
Right.
These are professors, but they're not really believing. So, which is, that's impossible.
There's
just all these things that they've experienced. But the Arminian will say, ha-ha, see this falling away? That proves you can lose eternal life.
And we would say, ha-ha, the falling away proves they fell away.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And falling away doesn't mean you lose everlasting life, because if you had everlasting life, you couldn't lose it, because everlasting life is everlasting life. Jesus said that the believer will never hunger, will never thirst, will never die, will never perish.
Never come into judgment.
Never come into judgment. He's secure forever.
Pass from death to life.
Pass from death into life. And so what he says here is not that it becomes impossible for him to regain everlasting life. It's impossible to renew him again to repentance. What that means is, if a believer completely falls away from the faith, we're talking about somebody in this first century context. These were Jewish believers who were thinking to going back to animal sacrifices instead of the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And he's saying, if you do that, well, then you're crucifying Christ again. You're putting him to open shame. And that kind of person cannot be brought back apart from a miracle of God. I would say it's humanly impossible, not divine.
So that's the impossibility. They're so invested now in rejecting what they just believed. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Read verses 7 and 8. That's the illustration. And in the illustration, the ground remains, but the worthless weeds are burned up. Mm. And what he's saying is, if your life is covered with weeds, then God is going to bring judgment in your life that could result in premature death. But it can't result in loss of everlasting life. So, Brad, check out those articles online. They'll give more detail than we've been able to give here.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free e-books on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what type of allowances Jesus might make for those who misunderstand the gospel. So join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.